That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like authoritarianism, or Mexican drug cartels, or charging bulls.
And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like learning your parents still have sex. Or watching Anthony Hopkins lose his marbles. Or getting caught. Those all sound scary.
I forgot to talk.
Yeah, you did. You just kind of froze.
I did. I had like a fugue state moment where I just went into like a dream state, and I don't know why, but you know what'll help me get out of it?
Our theme song.
Ground is shaken under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Goblin down, Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Have we started?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is How to Survive. You know that by the theme song. Also, we were gone for a week. We hope you enjoyed
bonus.
A shortened version of our bonus episode for the free listeners. And we were gone because Chris went to Mexico.
I was in Mexico.
I hope you pronounced it Mexico the whole time.
Pronounced it Mexico the whole time, especially to the people who live there.
Yeah.
I was like, I love Mexico.
Oh, I'm sure they greatly appreciate it.
Everyone there loved me. And I want to say welcome to our new Patreon.
Oh.
Subscribers.
I thought you said Patreon.
Welcome to our Patreon. No, our new subscribers. So
yes, welcome.
Thank you for joining.
Thanks for making the leap.
Yes, we so appreciate you. Yes, I was in Mexico, and so we released the bonus for a little treat.
So what city were you in again?
We weren't in a city. We were in a small village, which we flew into Cancun.
Yeah.
For those of you who've heard of Cancun.
Yeah.
Immediately left because we didn't want to be in Cancun.
Uh-huh.
Drove down south to a small village called Acumel, which is between Playa del Carmen and Tulum.
And how do you find these places?
I do a lot of research.
Yeah.
I like research because right. I do...
Do you ever do the research for a place and then realize, oh, I've already done the research for this place? But not until it's too late?
Yes, in fact.
Oh, we've already been here before.
Oh,
shit.
This is a place we've been.
This isn't a new place.
I wanted to stay somewhere small and not touristy.
Yes.
I don't really like to be in heavily touristed areas.
Right.
And I want to have a more authentic experience in a place. And so we stayed in a really small village, but we still stayed in like a gated community kind of situation because we wanted something that was inexpensive. And it's very much, that area of Mexico is very much a gated community place.
But is it a hotel or is it an Airbnb?
It was an Airbnb, but it was like a kind of golf club.
Oh, like type. You're living on the golf club.
You're kind of like
on the golf.
It yeah. was kind of like a, yeah, like a condo situation.
Sounds extremely authentic.
That part wasn't like I wanted to stay in the jungle,
right?
But doing that meant we'd be really far away from the beach, and we knew the kids wanted. We wanted to snorkel a lot, so it was kind of like you know you don't get everything. You don't get everything.
Yeah. No, it sounds lovely,
but it was wonderful. I highly recommend it for especially people with families, but even if you don't, it's magical.
So no injuries, no tales to tell? You're kidding.
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying I don't have tales to tell, but okay. Nobody got, you know, I just realized.
Something's beeping in your purse.
I got it.
Did you bring a bomb back?
I'm sorry that I brought this bomb.
Emma Bombeck.
I brought Emma Bombeck. She's going to tell some mildly amusing stories for Reader's Digest on our show.
we've done a pivot. The show has taken a different turn. It's not about how to survive anymore.
No, it's just cute anecdotes about your dog. Yes. Well, let's see. Would you like a tale?
Yes.
Okay. So Alex is like, I just want to go to the pool.
Okay.
And so the pool is incredible at this country clubby kind of place. It's this huge infinity pool.
So whoa.
It's really nice. So we go to the pool. And somehow she brings up, this is not the funny part, P.S., that I had had a miscarriage.
Oh.
Right. So because Benjamin had told her at some point at bedtime, I had told him the story about having a miscarriage.
Sleep well.
Yeah. Good night. Don't have any bad dreams.
You could have had a sibling. I don't even know if I knew this. Did I?
I don't. Maybe. But like.
This is before them. I'm
assuming. No, after. So it had come up very naturally. At some point he had asked, you know, were you ever pregnant or did you ever have any other kid? Like something along the lines of like, well, I did get pregnant, but it didn't work out. It was very early and it was such a big surprise because Dad and I didn't think we could. Right. So then, of course, he told Alex because even though they fight all the time, they also tell each other everything.
Yeah.
So she was like, Benji told me you had a miscarriage. And I was like, yeah, you know. And she was like, when did that happen? And like, you know, were we rainbow babies? Which I guess is like a baby you have after a miscarriage. I'd never heard that term.
I thought rainbow babies were like dead babies.
I don't know what they are.
But maybe that's what it is.
Anyway, she knew the term. I didn't know.
Think they're super gay babies.
They're Garen's a rainbow baby.
Yeah.
So I said, no, because this happened after you were born. You know, you guys were like about 11 months old. And I was like, oh, no, I can't have another
Jesus
baby.
Jesus Christ.
You know.
Can you imagine?
No. Oh, my God. I mean, I was sad when it happened too, but like also thank God because I was.
Were you going to have it?
Yeah, I was going to have it.
Whoa.
Could you imagine? It would have been like triplets. It would have been the worst.
I just can't imagine.
Oh, nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
So she goes, wait a minute.
Oh.
Do you mean to say that you and Dad have had sex since Benjamin and I were born? And I go, yeah. She goes, just that one time though, right?
Does she think it's just for procreation?
I go, no. She goes,
there were three other times.
She goes, so do you still have sex? I go,
oh my God, Alex.
Yeah. Wait a second. Mom. No. And I go, do you think that parents don't have sex except to have kids? She goes, well, I knew other parents did, but I didn't think you guys did. And I said, yeah. She goes, when was the last time?
Oh, no. Wow. She's so up in your face.
I know.
With
I go,
this shit.
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that. She goes, well, last week, last month. And I said, I don't know. She goes, ugh, I think I'm done at the pool. So we we just like laid in bed and we were like reading our Kindles and Alex comes in and she goes, why are you guys naked?
Oh my God.
And I go, because we were just in the plunge pool. And she goes, well, then why didn't you put some clothes on?
Oh my God.
And you're naked in the bed? What's going on? What?
She's so crazy.
Yeah. And then she go to the pool, she goes, so we're going to go to the pool and we're going to be gone about 20 minutes. Like, it was like, Sven goes, do you think she was like making sure, you know? And another point, like later during the trip, we were in the bathroom together and like Sven was in the shower and I was getting ready to go to, you know, we were going to dinner. She goes, why is this door locked? What are you guys doing in there?
Why is she a mother of teenagers all of a sudden?
I know.
It's like she's trying to protect from having another kid. Like, no.
She doesn't want to.
Is that what it is?
Oh, I don't know.
I think she's just grossed out by the idea of them having sex.
I think she's worried she's going to walk in on something.
Well, speaking of kids, Oliver's here today because he's on spring break, and this is his exciting spring break.
He's loving it.
Oliver. Hold on. I'm going to get him for a second.
Quickly now, mother needs you.
Come here for a second. Okay, so I brought Oliver in. So Oliver, I'm sure you heard that from the other room, fascinating story. We've never had a conversation like that, have we?
Nope.
No, we're never going to,
no
are we?
Way.
No, we are not. But the reason why I brought you in was because I wanted you to explain, because, you know, it's spring break and you're like raging because it's, you know.
You're going nuts.
You're going nuts. You're doing like shooters and
cake stands.
Yep. Yeah, cake
stands. What's a shooter, by the way?
Isn't a shooter? Did I make that up? Like a shot or something? A shooter or something?
It sounds like something.
It's something. I don't know.
It's cool.
But I just want you to tell them what your day was yesterday. Your friend came over.
My friend came over. We were partying, having a great time.
Yeah.
And we decided to end the night by having a super fun viewing of The Father, the Anthony Hopkins movie where he has dementia.
This is what they chose to watch.
It was a great time. It was between that and Swingers. And we were like, what's going to be more fun? And we were like, oh, I know. Let's play a card game to decide. And I lost the card game. So we watched The Father.
Wow. And your friend has seen this movie 5 times.
He's seen it like 5 times. Wow. It's his favorite movie. And I can't imagine watching it a second time.
But you really liked it.
I loved it. It's amazing. It's a 5 out of 5. But it is rough. It is. Yeah. I can't imagine seeing it.
It's not like something you watch over and over again.
Not for me.
It's imprinted on you forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I refused to watch it. When this came out, I was like, nope.
Well,
not,
yeah.
Nope, not watching that.
He told me about it, and I was like, sounds like it hits a little too close for me.
Yeah.
Pass.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's heavy duty. It's heavy stuff.
Swingers sounds a little more like something two teenage boys would watch.
Well, Oliver's seen it, but his friend hadn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's seen The Father.
What did Tommy say halfway through?
Oh, yeah. So we were like 20 minutes into The Father, and he's like, maybe we should have gone with Swingers. I was like, yeah, but it's good. It was good. The Father was really, really good. But
Olivia Colman, right?
Yeah, Olivia Colman's in it. And, I think they're the two, and then there's like a couple other people, but I don't remember any of their names. But it's wacky.
I was working in the room next to where they were watching it with the door closed, but every once in a while I could hear like, I don't know where I am. Shit like that. And I'm like, no, 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 putting my fingers in my ears. No, I don't want to know anything about this. Oh, she tells me she's my daughter, but I don't believe I know those weren't the words, but
that's basically the lie.
I can't wait to see your game show questions. Is that what you were?
No, now I'm working on the Writers Guild Awards.
Oh, okay.
The game show is over. Yeah, they're all
about the father. They're all just, the question is, where am I?
Who are you?
Yeah, who are you? Is this my flat?
All right, you're hilarious. All right,
skedaddle.
All right, love
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thanks for stopping by. Stop by anytime.
All right, thanks, honey. All right, now he's going to go eavesdrop for the rest of the show.
Good.
Is it okay that this is still on?
I turned the volume all the way down, so it should be okay.
Hilarious.
Okay. Well, that's amazing. I love that story.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm obsessed with your daughter. I would like to know what it's like to have a daughter, but that's just so funny. No. She says no.
It's complicated. It's wonderful. You have this really, it's like an intense closeness of like, somebody made a version of yourself that's not nice to you.
It's like your worst self-loathing just manifest.
That wants to hang out with you all the time, but then can be cruel as you can believe. But also, it's really sweet because she's actually so much fun.
Yeah.
She's really fun and very funny. So, you know, you do get to hang out with your pal all the time,
oh,
which is a lot of
so
fun.
That's so nice.
So, guys, are you ready to learn how to survive being charged by a bull?
Yes.
This was fun. This was fun to research.
Yes.
I learned a lot.
Did you go out in the field?
I did do some bullfighting. Okay. And that's why I have that giant seeping wound from my side.
I was going to ask about that.
Now, yeah. I know they do that in Spain. Do they do that in Mexico?
They do it in Colombia. They do it in Spain.
All scary things happen in Colombia.
Yes. The stuff that happens in Colombia, I read a whole thing in Rolling Stone that was going to be my story, and I'll get into it a little bit.
Okay.
It is horrifying.
Oh, really?
It makes Spain look like, you know, going to McDonald's for apple pie.
They've not outlawed. Well, that's also dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, people always talk about how hot that apple
pie
is.
You could sue for that.
You could burn the roof of your mouth on that thing.
Burn your genitals.
Yeah. Well, if you eat it, if you're doing it wrong, if you do it that way.
If
you do an American pie situation.
Yes.
But with the, well, because it's like a pocket.
Yeah, you
it already
put,
is like a pocket.
You could put your dick in it.
Glad my son's hearing this. That's all right. He's heard worse
someone
from me.
Has
I mean,
absolutely done that.
Yeah, 100% somebody has done that.
Definitely
they're doing
done
it
that.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We just gave them the idea. Don't sue us. Guys, it's too hot to put your dick in.
Now, is the apple pie, is your dick in an apple pie a limited time offer, or is the apple pie available year round? Shamrock Shake, that would be a limited time offer.
It feels like you should only do it over the holidays.
Which holiday?
Christmas?
Mayday? Oh.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Mayday.
Well, it's like so hot that it feels like it'd be like
a winter activity.
It's a winter sport.
Summer, you're not going to put your dick in apple pie.
No, that's ridiculous.
It's already so hot out.
Get a frappe.
Put your dick in a milkshake.
Right.
Cool it off.
Right.
This is such
so
a
stupid.
Dumb conversation that it's like making me laugh how dumb it is.
Well, that's our show now.
Yeah. Our show is dumb. Where were we? Bull fighting is not outlawed.
It's not outlawed.
No. What is the when we think of bullfighting?
Yeah.
What's the image that comes to your mind?
A guy in a fancy hat with a red flag.
Cape. He's the matador,
there's
right?
There's a matador, but there's also different words. There's a matador and there's a torador.
Yes.
But I don't know what the difference is.
The red cape, right?
Yeah.
So, did you guys know this is where the expression seeing red comes from?
Don't think I did. That's
I learned.
Fantastic.
I just learned it. I learned it, and now I'm learning you. So here's the thing that's really interesting to me about this: bulls are colorblind to the color red.
Okay, they're meaning they can't see. Like it's a green screen. They can't see it. Like
it's invisible. It just looks gray to them.
Okay.
When they wave it.
So why is that the color to taunt?
So
them?
Why are they so mad? Right. What makes the bull so mad? What would any guesses?
They don't like squares.
They might not like squares. What if it's the silly hat? The hat's pretty silly.
Maybe it's that someone's trying to kill them.
Maybe Maybe it's that they're going to be dead at the end of the bullfight.
That's what makes them mad.
I'd be mad about that. At least in Spain and Colombia, it's a lot of the times it's the men who are dead.
Oh,
FYI.
Okay.
What actually makes the bull so angry is the movement.
Oh, so the red is so the crowd can see it.
Yes. It's the matador's taunting the bull to charge with the bright red cape. It's called the muleta.
Okay.
That's the name of the cape. That irritates the bull enough to charge, okay?
Muleta is suitcase. Muleta is the flag.
Okay. Oh, okay. Muleta. Sorry that I said it. See?
No,
Duoletta.
you didn't say
Duolingo
it wrong.
Is working.
I think it's suitcase. I think I'm right about that.
So later in the fight, the matador trades up for a larger cape known as the capote.
Oh, the capote is a very gay flag. Okay. Very bitter and angry.
Yes.
And biting.
And good luck being friends with the capote because he is going to do you wrong. That one's colored magenta on the one side and usually blue or gold on the other. So the matador flings and whips this even bigger cape at the bull, and the bull's all like, stop it.
Yeah.
You know? And the matador's like, oh, you don't like my napkin cape before? You're really not going to like this full-size California king-size cape coming at you.
With multiple colors.
Yeah, it's all colorful.
So those colors he can see, the bull can see?
No, I don't think so. It's just for the audience.
When you say colorblind, do you mean...
Not all colors.
Oh, okay.
But it's like certain colors.
Red is gray. Okay.
Red and... those colors aren't really... It doesn't really matter. It's not... That's for the show of the people in the stands.
Okay.
So... even if you aren't a Spanish matador or participate in in Pamplona's Running of the Bulls Festival in July, you might still need to defend yourself, Danielle or Darren, from a bull. And I'm going to tell you how. Okay. But first, few fun facts. Okay. The Pamplona Running of the Bulls, this is an annual event. The run starts at 8 o'clock each morning, which already leaves me out because I'm not going to get up that early.
Not on vacation.
No. It's a weeks-long festival of San Fermín where six fighting bulls stampede at about 24 miles per hour. That's fast. Do you want to know how many people have died doing this?
I do want to know.
30 since they started keeping records in 1910.
Okay.
Not as many as you'd think.
Are they killed because they're run over by bulls or by the crowd stampede?
Good question.
Crowd crush.
I don't know that.
Okay.
In 2022, so just a couple years ago, 10 people died.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, 30 since 1910?
Yeah.
But 10
of them.
In
yeah.
1 year?
Yes. And that was and during that year, there was a big push, and it was to outlaw it because of so many deaths and because of the cruelty considered to the bulls to force them to, you know, sort of do this.
How do they force them?
Well,
are they shocking them or something?
I think it's just the idea that, like, it's not what bulls would naturally do.
No, I know. It just seems like bullfighting is a lot more offensive than
this. I mean, that's also another thing that
right.
people in Spain, it's like this thing, there's a push-pull of, like, a lot of activists are trying to have all of this outlawed, and then there's the other side that's saying it's tradition. You know, a lot of things like this in lots of countries that we say this should stop, and people say, no, it's tradition. People love to use that word to keep terrible things going. You guys want to know how to prevent an attack?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to tell you.
Well, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Running of the bulls.
Don't, like, one easy thing is don't run in front of bulls
right.
on purpose. Like, don't pay tourism money to go run in front of them.
Right.
Done. Never going to get attacked by one that way. All right, so if you haven't already guessed, bulls are dangerous, right?
Yeah.
They are one of the most dangerous livestock to own or hang out with socially. Mm-hmm. They're not dumb. They're not slow, clumsy, or stupid. They can easily outrun you. And
they're not Ferdinand.
Oh, no. That was an anomaly, right?
They're not taking time to smell the flowers.
Oh, no. They will gore you or crush you without a second thought.
Wow.
Garen, they will.
Whoa.
If you live on a ranch or farm with bulls, you need this information. But what if you just find yourself walking through a field or pasture and stumble upon some bulls?
Yeah.
Could happen. Okay, so keep this in mind. They're not the only type of bovine that can seriously hurt or kill you.
Okay.
Cows can be just as dangerous as bulls, especially if they're protecting a young calf.
Oh, okay.
Don't get all sweet with cows thinking, like, I'm going to go tip a cow.
Yeah.
Those cows will fuck you up.
So that means cows sleep standing up, right? And horses sleep standing up? But why? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Why? I did know this at some point.
Oh, you did?
I did. I think Sven told me this at some point, and now my brain has decided
to
forget this information.
So they can get up and go. It's probably protective.
Yeah. How is it, like, you forget that, but you'll still remember, like, a Big Mac, like, chant commercial from when you were 8 years old? Like,
yeah.
I can still recite Big Mac, Filet-O-Fish, quarter pound of French fries, Icy Coke, thick steak, sundae, and apple pie. But yeah. I can't remember why. But
you just want to get back to that apple pie. I'm just obsessed with
it. I know. I want to put somebody's dick in it because I don't have one. Garen, get over here.
We surprise him one day with an apple pie.
Do it for the show.
Do it for the show. It's for our Patreon members. Okay. Here's what you do. Number one, carry a heavy stick or pipe. Okay?
Okay.
At all times.
Say you're just wandering through a field?
I'm going to order you guys one on Amazon. So
All
you
right.
just have it with you.
All right.
If you absolutely have to go in the same corral with a bull, I don't know, why would you? Why would you?
Well, if you're a cowboy.
Yeah, or maybe they're having a good Amazon sale in there.
They're having a good Amazon sale in the pen? What are you talking
why
about?
Why is that Amazon?
Well, you pick the one thing that's only online?
Madewell.
Okay.
Okay, it's Madewell sale. It's in a corral.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a catch. Go get what you want.
Okay, yeah.
As much as you can carry. Okay, some other good options include a walking stick, a heavy branch that won't break on impact, an axe handle.
Okay.
Those are always laying around,
sure.
right? Or a baseball bat, right?
Uh-huh.
Maybe you're on crutches.
Maybe you're on crutches? Use the crutch?
Yeah.
If I'm on crutches, I think the last place I'm going is a bullpen.
Come on, take a risk. Number two. Okay, before entering a pasture, look around for cattle. If you see a bull in a pasture or a field, don't go on his side of the fence.
Okay.
Good advice. even if that means you have to walk the super long way around, you know, like maybe you're trying to get to a barn rave. Those are real popular.
Yeah. You're just like making, you've got an active imagination today.
Yes, yes.
Love it.
So there's a rave happening in a barn.
Okay.
I went to like a weird party out in the forest once in Australia, that weird party I went to, and it was way out in the wilderness.
Right.
This one, let's say, hypothetically, it's in a barn.
Right.
But you got to walk around this really long, big pasture. Inside the fence, there's a bull, and you're like, well, it's much quicker. That bull's just standing up sleeping. It's not going to bother me.
Right.
Do not do that. Okay?
Yeah.
Take our advice. Even a bull without horns can be dangerous.
Now, why would they not have horns?
There are bulls that don't have horns. It's not uncommon.
They lose them, or they just aren't born with them?
They're just not born with them. And I think they also can lose them. There's a name for these. I think it's like polled, P-O-L-L-E-D.
Okay.
Meaning they don't have horns.
Huh.
And I think it's the
just... seems very dangerous for them out in the...
to not have them?
Yes.
But I think if the whole breed doesn't have them...
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's like a certain... like, they're different types.
Oh, it's not like a birth defect.
Bulls.
It's a...
No,
it's
I think it's...
it's a type, a
line. Yes, it's like a type. Okay. Like
it's like having red hair. It's
yes.
Not,
it's like the Aspen bull. That's not a bull. I just made that up, but like... these don't have horns. Okay.
Speaking of that, did you see that thing on Twitter about this cow that was sold that's really, really expensive? Like the world's most expensive cow?
No.
But it looks like, because it has like loose skin, so it looks like a costume. It just looks like people in a costume.
Is that why what made it expensive?
I don't know. I didn't read it. I just saw the, it's weird.
That is.
Garen will find it.
I want to see it. That's what's happening to me.
Yeah, I know. And I think my value is decreasing, so I'm not sure why.
Same.
As soon as you drive it off the lot.
Number three, watch for signs of aggression. Okay, if a bull sees you as a threat, he has ways to warn you to keep you away. Ready? He paws at the dirt.
I was gonna say, I know this from cartoons.
Or rubs himself
and
in
then
it.
He snorts.
Yes,
right?
Bellows or growls. It sounds something like this: rumpf, rumpf. Okay.
Okay.
Tosses his head.
All right.
Now, this isn't like a model. Like it's not like Cheryl Teagues in an 80s movie tossing her head.
Okay.
Christie Brinkley. Glares at you, following movements with his eyes.
Uh-huh.
Following you.
Right.
Okay. Lowering his head, so his forehead points towards you.
Uh-huh.
It's very cartoony, right?
Yeah.
Raises his tail slightly and stands sideways to show you how big and powerful he is.
Oh, dang.
Right? That's
okay.
Terrifying. So here's what you want to do. Stay near fences or obstacles. If you absolutely must go through an area that has a bull, walk next to the fence so that you can climb over for a quick escape.
Okay.
If it's not an option, choose a route that takes you past hay bales or other obstacles that you can get behind to protect yourself from a charge.
Got it.
Look for, I don't know, concrete wall. All right. Walk as far away from the bull as you can and not through the center of a herd. Well, that feels like...
yeah. Okay, that's practical.
Pretty good advice.
What if I have a cardboard drawing of a bush and I just keep that in front of me and with a handle?
Yep.
And I just make my way through like that.
Oh,
would
like
that work?
Like a prop from a play that Oliver was just in?
Right.
I think you've got nothing to worry about.
Okay.
You are...
I carry that with me all the time.
Good. I can see it. It's
so,
right there next
okay,
to you.
Yeah,
so.
Here it is. So you can't even see me now, can you?
Nope.
Nope, I disappeared. Oh, here I am.
I'm pretending I'm a bull that doesn't want to attack you. Here's number five piece of advice. Remain calm as you walk by the bull or bulls. They aren't good at judging distance unless you're directly in front of them. Okay, so walking too quickly into their field of vision can freak them out.
All right.
You know, don't jump scare them.
Okay.
Don't skip at them. La-di-da-di-da. Don't do any TikTok dances, Garen. They don't like that. I know you're learning them back at your apartment. Okay.
Is that still a thing?
TikTok dances?
Yeah.
I imagine.
Garen?
It seems to be increasingly being overtaken by highly political stuff.
Okay.
Or the...
By the same people? Like the same people who were doing dances?
No. Or maybe it's my feed. And now it's all...
Yeah, I think it's probably your feed.
Eclipse is going to kill us all. It's going over all these biblical towns.
Yeah.
Like it's
your algorithm is giving you some
so stupid.
Giving you some info. Okay. If he starts watching you. Oh, wait. I skipped something. I'm sorry. Okay. Once you're in its field of vision, anywhere not directly behind it, you never want to be behind it. Walk at a normal pace, but do not run or make any sudden movements. Okay. Because this can encourage the bull to charge.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If he starts watching you and giving you the warning signs we talked about earlier, turn so your side faces him and walk diagonally away, okay?
Okay.
This makes you look smaller and less threatening.
Oh, okay. Yeah? I love it. Use perspective.
Yes.
All right.
You know they love Picasso, bulls.
They
love art.
Yeah,
they
love it.
So they really appreciate when you show them perspective.
Yeah.
They're like, this is a human who appreciates art.
Right.
I don't want to gore them to death now. Do not make direct eye contact. Do not turn your back on the bull, but still stay aware of where he is.
All right.
All right. Now you want to escape, right? Obviously.
Yes, please.
Okay. So let's say this bull is showing you some signs of aggression. You're backing away calmly to the nearest gate, the climbable fence, or a cattle guard, which is also called a cow grid or Texas gate. You know, Beyonce's going to write a song called Texas Gate.
Right, yes.
It's coming. Remember, the bull is assessing you as a threat, and running can cause it to charge. If the bull seems calm but starts to walk toward you, you got to get out of there, because bulls that sneak up behind you can be even more dangerous than the ones that give you obvious warnings.
Jeez Louise.
All right. If the bull charges, dodge a charge to the side, right? Uh-huh. Then run past the bull. If you are charged and can't get to the safety in time, run to the side, get out of its path. As the bull passes you, change direction and run past the bull so it has to turn fully around.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It's a lot of choreography here.
I know.
Uh-huh.
But you have a dance background.
Yeah.
They're
teaching this on TikTok, aren't they?
I hope so. As you run to safety, this is important, zigzag to slow the bull's momentum. What's the animal? Oh, bears. You know how bears do that sneak, that fake charge?
Yeah.
Bulls never do that.
Okay, if they look like they're going to charge, they're going to charge.
They're going to do it. They're never going to do a fake out and,
right,
like, put their hand through their hair.
Okay.
They're always going to come at you, so just don't think, I'll just stand here, because they're probably going to turn around at the last second.
Right.
Mm-mm, they're coming. Throw your backpack or shirt as you run to distract the bull. Be aware, though, that a bull is much faster than you in both speed and reaction time, and often you won't have enough time to take your shirt off, right, and throw it at the bull.
Uh-huh.
But, like, if you're running, like, if you have something, you can maybe throw it. I don't know, though. If I had a steel rod in my hand, I'm going to hold on to it, because if they catch up with me, I want to have that.
Should you do that fake, like what they do with the dog?
Oh, like
fake
the tennis ball?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good idea. I don't know if I'm going to have, it depends on what kind of shirt you're wearing. Like, what if it has a lot of buttons? I'm not going to mess.
Oh, that's like a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And then, like, what if you take your shirt off, then you get gored to death, and
right,
then you're found,
and then you're naked,
humiliated,
without, yeah,
and they're going to think you're in some weird sex thing
and
with
then,
a bull.
And then Alex is going to be like, why was she naked?
Oh yeah. They said they weren't going to get naked anymore. And then she did with a bull. My mom's so embarrassing. And then my son will be like, look, she's got her big nipples out. All right. You're cornered by the bull now.
Uh-huh.
There's no escape. Here's what you're going to do, guys. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're going to cry. Yell and hit the bull's face with your weapon.
Okay.
This is if you do not have escape route. Okay. Yell as loud as you can. Hit the bull hard across the face or muzzle with your weapon or your hands if that's all you have.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, you can hit it hard enough that it will back off. Okay? A hard hit to the muzzle or nose is often enough to make the bull stop chasing after you. All right, here's something I found interesting. This is about bovines in general, okay?
Uh-huh.
Bulls and cows raised for meat make less contact with humans, so their herd instinct naturally kicks in when they interact with others of their kind, and humans are treated with indifference.
Okay.
Okay. Dairy bulls are usually hand-fed.
Okay, wait a second.
Whoa. Stop me.
You know what I'm going to ask, right?
Yeah. No.
Well, cows give milk. Bulls don't give milk. Bulls are male.
I don't know. I'm just reading what it says that I got this.
Dairy bulls.
This is from a source. I mean, I'll just give a shout out to my sources right now. WikiHow, American Outdoor Guide, Farm and Dairy, and CBS News. I'll also briefly mention an article from Rolling Stone, but I'm not.
Okay. I'm confused.
So I don't know.
Dairy bulls. That goes against nature. I'm very confused.
It might. Maybe it's that thing where they're just referring to all like everything is bulls. Everything.
But that's not, yeah, I don't think that's the accurate nomenclature. I think they're bovines and cows are female and bulls are male.
Yes, I agree.
And you can't milk a male animal.
No. I mean, you can, but it's for another reason. Jesus. So dairy bulls, I'm just going to say what they're saying,
okay,
are usually hand-fed and handled by humans, so they grow up thinking that humans are part of their herd. This throws off their natural herd instincts and causes some confusing behavior. This could contribute to them becoming more aggressive with age and capable of bull charge.
Okay.
So because they're talking about like which one, there's like which ones are more dangerous, right? Dairy animals that are bred for dairy or animals that are bred for beef. Remember, bulls are usually docile livestock that are raised and slaughtered for food, but they are very dangerous if they're provoked.
Okay.
These are just some closing thoughts.
Yeah.
Your best defense against a bull charge is to avoid their territory. Don't give them a reason to charge you. Don't try to get some dumb TikTok with one. Like, don't, you know, just don't be a stupid human. Remember to remain calm. They don't bluff. When they look like they're about to charge, they will. Scream at them. Fight them off with anything you can use as a weapon. Running is your last resort. Remember this.
Okay.
Running is your last resort. Running is always my last resort.
Right, sure.
But I think with most of the animals we've talked about, running is your last
resort. That's true. I don't remember one that's like, run.
Running is your last resort. That's a good general tip, right? Oh, yeah. Running is your last resort. When is it good to run? Can we think of an example?
Crocodiles.
Zigzag. Serpentine. I don't know.
Okay.
Because they're all fast. So what do you do?
Yeah. You got to outsmart them somehow.
Yeah.
Got to have that backpack full of rocks.
Right.
All right. They get really annoyed. They get really annoyed at furiously moving objects.
Yeah.
Me too.
So don't run. Sure. Just everybody calm down.
Yeah. Okay. Do the zigzag thing and throw your bag or shirt at them to distract them. I cannot talk. Remember, they're smart, fast, and powerful creatures, and they're best left alone. So keep your distance. Who would like a story?
Me.
All right. This is in Grove City, Pennsylvania. Judy Lego climbed over the high tensile fence and into the pasture to check on a cow and calf pair. They were doing fine. It was as routine as brushing her teeth. Judy, 52. It's funny when I read Judy, 52, I'm like, she's an old lady. And I'm like, oh.
And because of the name or because of 52?
Well, both.
Or the combo.
Both. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's me. Okay.
Right.
Dug out her cell phone and started snapping a few pictures of one of her Highland cows that was for sale. Then she heard a bone-chilling noise.
Oh.
Bandit, the Highland bull she had raised since birth, was starting to snort. And she heard his feet pawing at the ground.
Uh-oh.
Her instinct kicked in immediately. She knew she had to get out of the way. Bandit barreled at her. She ran as fast as she could.
Don't run!
I know, right? Affectionately known as the cow whisperer in the cattle world, Judy is no stranger to working with cattle and is known for her fitting and showing career. She and her husband John started a dairy operation in Mercer County, but transitioned to beef after 20 years in the business. They breed Angus and Angot. It says Angus and Angus cross cattle and operate as a commercial cow-calf pair and finishing operation and sell retail beef to consumers, grocery stores, and farmers markets. The couple have 400 head of cattle, of which 40 are Highlands. Bandit, who is several years old, was the bull used in her Highland cattle herd. Judy had raised him from a few days old and had bottle fed him. She was comfortable but always cautious when she got near him because sometimes he liked to play. But she never thought he would hurt her. Dinner was over, and it had just stopped raining. It was a rare break in the rainstorms that pounded western Pennsylvania and eastern Ohio in June, so John went to check cattle at one of their other farms. Judy slipped out to the pasture to check on a cow that had just given birth and to take pictures of one of their Highland cows for a prospective buyer from Washington State who had called earlier in the day. Okay, so now we're going back.
Yeah, I got that.
All right. Judy ran toward the fence at full speed. But before Judy could escape, Bandit picked her up with his head and horns and tossed her around like a rag doll. Her cell phone flew from her hand and hit the ground, filming the sky but capturing the attack's horrific audio.
Oh, God.
In the recording, she screams out for him to stop, but he continued throwing her around with his horns. As Bandit pummeled Judy, she remembers laying on the ground and hearing Bandit charging back at her. She looked up and saw the cow, Antonia. Antonio bellowed and got in front of Bandit before he could gore Judy.
Whoa!
It gave
Bella.
I know.
I mean, Antonia.
Good job, Antonia. It gave Judy time to scramble to her feet and try to get out of the pasture. At the neighbor's across the street, a young boy visiting from Western Ohio happened to be playing outside. He heard her screams and ran inside to get help. The neighbor reached Judy as she neared the fences. She clutched her shoulder and chest. With the neighbor's help, Judy navigated the set of fences, climbing over and under the high tensile fence
and across
another open pasture to get to her driveway.
Jeez.
As Judy sat along the edge of the driveway, the rain returned. Lightning struck, and she could feel the electricity in the air punctuating the nightmare. The neighbor called John and calmly explained that Judy had been attacked by the bull, but she had gotten away and crawled out of the pasture on her own. John thought it couldn't be that bad if she was able to stand up and get out of the pasture on her own. In his mind, she had been in the pasture thousands of times before and nothing had happened, so this couldn't be that severe. But he quickly finished his chores and headed home. He finished his chores, guys.
Oh, boy.
First, he finished his chores.
Am I the asshole?
Yeah.
My wife was being gored by a bull, but I had chores to finish.
I cannot stop reading that sentence. Okay. In hindsight, he and Judy agree they should have called an ambulance. John stopped along the driveway and picked up Judy in the pickup truck. When she turned her head, he thought something was wrong, but then just figured it was a matter of bruises and swelling. He got her in the house, propped her up with pillows, and gave her some ibuprofen.
What the fuck?
They both thought the pain would subside and she would be fine. There was no way to see the extent of the injuries, said John. I wish everyone could see my face right now. An hour later, Judy asked to go to the emergency room in nearby Grove City, Pennsylvania. Judy walked into the emergency room without assistance. They put a gown on her and said she would have to wait. The emergency room was packed with accidents that night because of the rainy weather. I guess John couldn't find it in his fucking brain to say,
speak up and say, hey, my wife was attacked by a bull. Yeah.
A few hours later, an x-ray revealed injuries both Judy and John never expected. A broken neck.
Oh,
broken
what?
Ribs.
Wait, a broken neck? How is she standing?
I guess you can stand with a broken neck. Judy, okay. I guess, is a total badass. The test showed fractures in both the 6th and 7th vertebrae in her neck and broken ribs. She was placed on a backboard with a brace and was being transported by ambulance to Allegheny General Hospital in Pittsburgh to see a neurosurgeon. I asked them, why couldn't we just drive there? It just seemed like a waste to have an ambulance take me there. Said
oh
Judy,
God,
still not
two.
Realizing the extent of her injuries. After being in the hospital for 3 days, doctors decided surgery was needed. Besides her neck and rib injuries, the MRI revealed one more injury. One of the main arteries in her neck was crushed during the attack. Instead of having two arteries servicing her brain, she would live the rest of her life with one, which could mean compromised blood flow as she ages.
Holy ghost.
She was able to leave the hospital after only 1 week, but Judy had to wear a full neck and torso brace for 8 weeks, followed by 6 weeks of physical therapy.
Oh my God.
And through it all, the farm had to keep going, so Judy had to give...
So Judy's out there with, like, a mummy outfit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So Judy had to give directions to her husband on what to be done and when, frustrated because she was so used to handling her own share of the work, now she had to hand it off and hope everything got done. Her first big outing after the ordeal was to the Mercer County 4-H Roundup for the livestock sale and was astounded by the support she received from family, friends, and the agricultural community. You live by degrees, said John when he thinks back to that June day. When you think about the possibility of what could have happened, you realize how lucky she was, said John. Judy survived that attack by the tiniest of degrees. As Judy thinks back to that one day, she wonders if there were warning signs or something she could have done differently. She has also wondered if the injections he endured as a sickly calf made him associate pain with her. She still hears the bone-chilling bellowing Bandit made as he charged. He was all about attacking and killing that day, said Judy. I could have been completely paralyzed or dead. Judy believes that working with cattle is about respect. The cows have to have respect, and the humans have to have respect. It's a two-way street. It's a lesson she's painfully relearned that one day.
Oh, my God. Guess what? The cattle don't have respect for you.
No.
They're cattle.
Yeah. I don't think that's a thing they can,
no,
you can expect.
They don't understand the intricacies of human nature.
No.
I think I understand now what a dairy bull might be.
Okay.
Stud?
Maybe.
To procreate with the cows? To breed?
Because they have to be... able to be milked, like you got to get them pregnant at least once so they can make milk, and then.
Well, I just for all the cows. I mean, you got to keep making more cows.
Yep.
That's my guess. I don't know. That's horrific.
Yep.
And they're just tough people. They just thought it was no big deal.
I mean,
they thought she had a headache.
Midwesterners are tough people.
I guess.
They really are. You know, I run to the doctor for every little hangnail.
I can't imagine, like, I was pummeled by a bullet. I'm just going to sit here.
I'm going to take some ibuprofen.
I was waiting for you to say that her eyeball was gouged out and they just thought it was swollen over.
Yeah. I mean,
her neck looked funny. What did he say?
Yeah. It's like, looked off. I mean,
her
how do you not immediately go to the immediately not go to the emergency room in this situation? Also, like,
honey, why can I see my own butt?
How is it he hears my wife got thrown by a bull multiple times. She's in her 50s. I'm going to finish my chores and then I'll get over there.
Because she could walk. Yeah, I don't know.
Those stalls.
It's bananas.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, farming is tough work. I'll tell you that.
Yes, holy moly.
These people are, they are much stronger than us, you know?
Yeah, that goes without saying.
I trip on a curb and I'm like, get an ambulance, yeah, folks.
That's true.
Okay, so since we have a little time,
yeah,
I'm gonna well actually our friend Garen here.
Okay.
It's kind of like a well sort of more than a well actually. Okay. So we, on our bonus episode, we got into like how to survive the election year. And I don't know if we really gave anyone any actual tips, except maybe to look at the news less. Before I well actually the shit out of you, I want to say
it's getting higher and higher.
I know. First it was well sort of. Now
I know. I'm like coming down hard. I do want to say I didn't give a tip that I think is actually very, very useful, and I'm gonna promote it heavily on our show, even though people might not like it. Which I think is the best thing you can do to survive an election year, which is to do some activism.
Yes.
It makes you feel good.
Yes.
It's not difficult. And like, you feel like you're doing something. So what I want to talk about a little bit is, we talked a little bit about Biden and the student loan relief program. And Garen was a little upset because he felt that Biden maybe had let people down, or it wasn't really his program. So what I want to do is point out a little bit of what this really is and what has happened with the plan. Because you said some things that were not exactly not true, but a little bit
skewed.
So one thing that is true is that there is something called the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Plan, which was created in 2007 by President George Bush. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it still exists. Okay. This is a United States government program that was part of the College Cost Reduction Act. And it was signed into law by President George Bush. Right. And it was a way to help people working in public service relieve their debt burdens from college. Okay. So this program permits direct loan borrowers who make $120 qualifying monthly payments under a qualifying repayment plan while working full time for a qualifying employer to have the remainder of their balance forgiven.
Got it.
Okay. The earliest time in which borrowers could receive forgiveness under the program was after October 1st, 2017. So that means at least 10 years. The Department of Education reported that 2,215 borrowers had the remainder of the respective student loans forgiven under the program as of April 30th, 2020.
Only 2,000?
Okay. Yes, for a denial rate of 98.5%.
Okay.
98%. Okay, so now if you want to get some more information about how badly this program has worked, you can watch John Oliver's episode, and it's really, like, I'm not going to get into how badly it's been run. And a lot of this has to do with the loan servicing programs, which are like Sallie Mae, mm-hmm. all of these loans programs,
right.
Okay? So that happened way before Biden came into office,
right?
So let's take a look at Biden's track record for student loan cancellation relief. His original plan was to wipe out $400 billion in student debt, okay?
Right.
And I got information on this because I have student loans. Maybe Garen does too. I don't know.
Oh, I do.
So his plan was that he was going to cancel $10,000 per borrower,
uh-huh.
$20,000 for recipients of the Pell Grant. The relief was going to be limited to Americans earning under $125,000 per year, okay, or $250,000 for married couples.
Okay.
And it was capped at the amount of borrowers for their outstanding eligible debt. So like if you owed less, they weren't going to give you a check for the extra.
Right.
Like if you know, yeah. So, okay, this was going to be really great because there's 45 million people across the country who owe $1.6 trillion in federal loans.
Jesus.
Uh-huh. Okay. So to be clear, this plan is not connected to Bush's plan, to the PSLF, okay? That plan sucks, right? We've talked about that, okay? So why didn't Biden do what he said he was going to do?
Because Congress stopped him.
Supreme Court struck him down, right? Yeah. It's stacked with Trump cronies. This is never going to happen, right? So, however, he still accomplished a lot. Okay, last month it was announced he canceled $1.2 billion in student loan debt, bringing the total amount that he's wiped out during his time in office, $138 billion for 3.9 million borrowers. This is more than any other president has done to help student loan relief in history. Okay, the way he did this was through fixes to the Education Department made through several debt relief programs, including, yes, the Public Service Loan Relief Forgiveness Program. Other areas are people on disability, the SAVE program, debt relief after 20 years. These were not, so all these programs were so fucking muddled, right?
Right.
Through the government.
Right.
And so what he was like, I'm not able to do what my plan was because there's no way the Supreme Court is going to pass. So what they're doing instead is they're going through all of these programs that have already been in existence and they've said, let's fix them.
Okay.
And that's how they've been able to cancel all this debt. Okay. So while you're saying he's not doing what he said and mm-hmm. he's only going through these other programs that existed, he's doing
an end run. He's trying to make it work.
He's making it's because it's a workaround so he can still accomplish what he set out to accomplish. The reason he's not able to accomplish his major program is not his fault.
Right.
So I think for us to say Biden failed on student loan forgiveness is not fair.
Right.
And just to sort of like go on that note, he's also made the most ambitious investment to combat climate change in history. But most Americans are unaware of his signature climate law. He has a major stimulus bill, large investments in infrastructure and health. Voters believe he has not accomplished much. Even many of the people who voted for him in 2020 are not impressed with our economy, despite falling inflation and unemployment near historic lows.
Right.
So who cares? Again, like we've said, you don't have to be excited about him. This isn't about you not liking him.
Right. But it's not. It's also not as bleak as people like to make it.
No, I think. Look, I think let's be realistic about what we think we are getting or not getting.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to point out these details about the student loan forgiveness program because I think they're sort of two different things. Anyway, that was my
thank you. That was excellent.
That was my little speech about.
Oh, I will tell you, if you do have student loans, you should be signing up for that SAVE Act thing that Biden created because I think the end game of that is to get rid of them loans.
And I think it takes everything down. Yes, it consolidates your loans,
yes,
and you have to do it maybe by April 30th. Let's put it in the newsletter.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank you guys for listening.
That was great. Thank you so much.
And I love all of you.
We will be right back after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, welcome back. Okay, okay. All right. I guess we'll do this.
She's keeping it very chill.
I spent the break giving Oliver a beat-by-beat explanation of our sex life.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so...
So now he knows.
Yeah.
I bet he's thrilled.
That's not true, Kulop. Her daughter was...
mortified?
But also, like, wanted to know...
Way too many details?
Way too many details about how often, when, why is happening.
She discovered that my husband and I had sex past the time that she and her twin brother were conceived.
And it threw her for a loop.
She didn't think that. She thought 11 years ago we had sex, and then we haven't since.
Right.
Ever. Mm-hmm, but other adults, other parents do. We, just not us.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was...
So it was
well, so her our vacation in Mexico, I think, was ruined for her. Because she found out
she'll
on vacation.
Always associate Mexico with your sex life.
Yes.
So,
I won't.
No. Hilarious. Before the break,
yes.
We were talking about how to survive being charged by Ebola. Now we're going to talk about how to survive getting things free of charge with Kulop Vilaysack. Hi, Kulop.
Hello.
How are you?
Thanks for coming in.
I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited
to have you. Kulop as an actor and a TV creator. Hi, Bajillion Dollar Listings. And also you co-host a podcast called Add to Cart with Suchin Pak.
Yeah.
So tell me, what is the premise of the podcast?
The podcast is... We kind of talk about all the things we buy and buy into,
uh-huh.
and sort of what that says about what we are. So it could be about face serums, but it also could be about celebrity crushes or just like parenting.
Yeah. Okay. This sounds really good. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sign up as soon as we're done.
Me too.
And I mean that. And
oh, I'm so glad that you mean it.
I do mean it.
I like that guarantee.
Because we always talk about, we have like best friends who don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
And you can talk about parenting because now you have a almost 1.5-year-old.
Crazy. Yes. Emerald Birdie.
So cute. And she showed us a picture before. Well, I made her show us a picture.
We were swooning.
She's extremely adorable.
Thank you. I agree.
And is it so much fun?
It's really fun.
It's great, right?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work, but it's...
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but we have help, and it was such a hard road to get to her.
Right.
That right now, everything's just sort of gravy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's that hard road.
You know it. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so great. Kulop.
Yes.
I'm so glad you're here because we've been trying to get you on for quite a long time, but obviously you've been extremely busy. What with a child and career and life?
More child and career, but go on.
Gotcha.
Can't relate.
Same.
This is career? What we're doing?
Well,
let's count it.
Okay.
We have to.
Quote. There's very heavy, bold... There are bold quotes.
Okay.
Listen, let me count it.
If we all agree, it's true.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I feel safe.
There we go. Okay.
Feels nice.
This is a safe space to call this a career.
Yeah, great. Let me unhook my bra. I feel okay.
Oh, we never wear bras.
But when you were a child, you got into a little bit of trouble.
Yes.
So tell us how old you were, what's going on.
When did I start shoplifting? Now, I think it was a peer-based activity.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think it happened, maybe early days, a piece of candy here and there. Like, that was, we're children, we're testing our boundaries. Very clear that that was wrong. And then I think it was probably around middle school.
Okay.
I grew up in Minnesota.
Right.
The suburbs of St. Paul, a place called Eagan. Right next to Eagan is Bloomington. Inside of Bloomington is the Mall of America.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Biggest mall, right?
The biggest mall.
Yes.
The biggest mall. And so there was sort of like in my middle school a little bit, and with kind of like the cool kids, of sport in shoplifting a little bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, hitting Bed Bath & Beyond, getting some Plumeria lotion, what else? Some sort of spray.
Yes.
Some
right.
Highly
disgusting peach
saccharine
spray.
Yes. Smelling Jolly Rancher in a bottle.
Can I tell you, Kulop, that is still the thing that tweens love, because my daughter has it in her bedroom now, and it is migraine inducing. When you become an adult, you cannot be near it anymore.
Yeah.
It's weird, right?
Very weird. And you would think that they would have fresher noses.
Yes.
And they would be less more tolerant. Sensitive.
No, they love it.
They love it.
I'm like, please, you can take so that intense. Out of the house, but please don't wear
what's
it.
What's she wearing? What scents?
It's like Jasmine Dream.
Oh, boy.
Coconut, you know, sunshine.
Does not sound like any, does not smell like nature in any
vanilla,
way.
Vanilla almond joy or something.
Oh, my God. It sounds awful.
And you can get three of them for like $15.
Well, of course, that's it. But it's I got them for free. And so, we would just sort of do rounds of being able to go to Abercrombie and Fitch and like uh-huh. go with like maybe you go with a gang of girls mm-hmm. you know and kind of like cover okay. that type of thing. And I'm trying to remember where my mom maybe became aware is I brazenly stole hair dye while I was shopping with her, not in the Mall of America, but at our local grocery store, Cub Foods.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I think I brazenly did that, and she was really pissed and really upset. And she's like, you don't get, you know, you're going to get caught. And, like, you know, so that, mm-hmm. that I think was where, and I didn't, but that's where I think she kind of clocked that I was kind of doing that.
So when you're with your mom, are you doing it because you don't think she'll get it for you? Or is it like, this is my sport, I do this, this is a habit? At this point,
I think maybe both. Yeah, okay. I think maybe both. I'm
You're
trying
just
to
like, I want it.
Yeah, yeah. And then
I'll just take it.
And there's something about like being able to take it and being, and also like maybe, I feel like maybe she's a good cover.
You're taking
it. Okay. And that's like, I think maybe if I'm thinking about it.
Less risk maybe?
Yeah, which is really crazy because I was terrified of my mom. Like that, like my mom, our relationship is like the insane, crazy, volatile one. So,
right.
You know, I mean, I guess that's just like hormones or something, right? Like yeah. not thinking yeah. right or like, right. I'm not sure. So this is sort of builds up. So I started working at the Mall of America when I could, which was like before 15.
Okay.
And then that started with the first things you can do there is like work at the food court.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think around 15, 16, you can start applying for like the retail places.
Okay.
Sure.
So in the retail places, you know, I started working at, I think it went like, yeah, I worked at the Levi's store. I worked at like just random places. But like the places at the time that you wanted to work were the anchor stores.
Okay.
So the Mall of America is sort of like this big rectangle. In the middle was Camp Snoopy. Now it's like the Nickelodeon
right.
universe mm-hmm, or something mm-hmm. like that. And then anchored by like four rotundas, which was at the time like Sears,
mm-hmm.
Macy's, Nordstrom's, and Bloomingdale's.
Okay.
So when I was, gosh, I want to say 15, 16, I worked at the Macy's. Worked at the Macy's. And
that's the gig you want.
Yeah, you kind of want that. Yeah, because they're like a bigger store. And I mm-hmm. think you would prefer Nordstrom's or Bloomingdale's because mm-hmm. that's just sort of the, you know, the status.
Yes, higher yeah, end.
Higher end, right? I mean, and to be a Nordstrom's brass well, plum you, girl you, back in the day would have been amazing. Right. But yes. yeah.
Well, you skipped Sears. So, I mean.
I skipped Sears. Yeah, Sears wasn't, like, wasn't mm-hmm. no, we don't want Sears. Yes.
They sell lawnmowers there.
Exactly. Yeah. Appliances. I don't give uh-uh. a fuck. <That's, laughs> so, I think I had pretty much at that point, I had stopped my habit of like pocketing things and going there for sport because then, you know, working in retail, you kind of realize the security systems and yeah. the tags. And
sure.
I had already gotten like, I had stolen from Bloomingdale's at one point and it still had the tag on it. It was a CK, it was a Calvin Klein Skort. It was a Whoa. Corduroy Skort.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Never wear because it had the tag on it, and there was no. And I knew smart enough to know that I couldn't pry.
You didn't
it
have
open.
The tag removal thing.
Yeah,
at home.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But it didn't go off.
Because I somehow you know I wrapped it in such a yeah. way that it did not.
Whoa,
go off.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and so
was that the biggest thing you ever stole?
I think that was probably the highest ticket item until the story I'm going to tell okay. you. That's which was I just used to hang out with a lot of. So then I moved on from those popular kids, and I started hanging out in Minnesota. A lot of immigrant. I'm Lao American, mm-hmm. and a lot of the Southeast Asian people that I was hanging out with, we really started to co-opt Black culture. There were such thing as like Laotian or Lao Bloods and Crips, and that was a factor in our lives, and that there was. You know, I would, you know, we'd get in fights in pool halls. Like, there was just things that mm-hmm. would happen. Like, there was, you know, and I didn't get in a lot of fights, but there were some to speak of. And nothing really bad, like, never. But at the time and in this period of time, I was hanging with some unsavory folk. Uh-huh. I don't know how this happened, but I became friends with the leader of the Lao Bloods. And our friendship, we had met prior in some parties, but then he... Somehow he called my house collect from jail where he was like, and I accepted that call, and he was in there for shooting someone. And so
Jesus Christ, that's a step up from shoplifting.
Something about like murder. And then, but we started sort of like this friendship, and he had a girlfriend.
Okay.
And I don't know what my poor mom was like, what is happening? Again, he's calling collect.
Yeah.
But I was just in this, I don't know, like I just was in this place. I was always fighting with my mom. And then, you know, I was working at the women's dress department, so I'm a serious person. I'm a serious person. But then there were the old, like, as I was moving that way, there was my kind of past was following me and sort of, then I again struck up this weird friendship with this guy. And mm-hmm. then he came up with this idea. Like, I was the youngest person working in, again, the women's department. Like, this is where we were mother of the bride dresses. Oh, yes. Like, they're not so much like, maybe a little prom, but it's not like the teen department.
Yeah,
okay?
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it was like me and a bunch of like much older people.
Yeah.
And the sort of less time that I started hanging around with these people was this guy calling me, and he came up with this idea. Later on, when he came out of jail, mm-hmm. he went to some girl's house to give her a homemade tattoo.
Oh, for fuck's sake. As you do. It gets worse and worse.
And while he was there, he went through her things and took two checks from the back of her mom's checkbook. Okay. And his genius idea was to put that into my Macy's account. My employee account. And when you put the way it worked with Macy's to get the discount is you put funds into your account, and then off of that do you get like 10%, 20% or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So his genius idea was to forge checks
and then deposit them into your
my
account. Okay.
And then go on a shopping spree basically with his girlfriend. So my genius idea was like, great idea. I agreed to that. I agreed to that. I don't, it's just like, as an adult, you look back and go, what did you think was going
also,
to happen?
Also, what's in it for you? Did you have a crush on him?
Nope. It was just, I think, just this desire and need that I've only recently, I still want to belong. Uh-huh. It's just now I'm not insecure, right. And I do belong, and it's not something that I'm desperately seeking and needing.
Yeah,
approval,
sure. And wanting to, you know, like my family's so horrible, I want to find family outside of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just was this story of life, I guess, in that way. But like, what did I get? It was just like, oh wow, I remember first talking to Lao guys and like, you sound like a white girl, and that making me feel bad, and now I'm being accepted by this like person of somewhat authority, and in like other Lao people, I've never been Lao enough, I've never been enough, and so this sort of.
This cool guy.
It's
a good idea.
And I'm like, this will be great. Like, I'll do this and I'll get free things because, like, my morals aren't right. They're not aligned with what I am now. I'm like, even though, like, I liked my job and I liked the people I worked with.
Yes.
But there's, like, I just wanted belonging and acceptance, I guess. And I wanted free shit.
And like, you were a teenager, like, not, I mean, I did so much dumb shit, but also like not thinking things through to the end result. You know, when your brain isn't done growing,
well,
you're just
like.
Well,
it seems like a genius idea. So how could it possibly
go wrong?
Doesn't sound like it will.
No, no. In the end, guys.
You were like, I don't know how checkbooks work, so yeah, I don't see that yeah. this person who actually has the checks is going to notice the money missing from their account.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, reach out to their bank and yeah. like look at the check and go, this isn't my signature.
Yes.
Like, why was it Macy's and why?
Yeah.
What account was it connected to? What's her employee number?
Yes.
And yeah, I go, I want to say, I want, if this is correct, I think it was like, it's between 1,000 2,000 total.
Okay.
That we go shopping.
Yes.
With a
10%. It's also funny that it's like some 10% discount.
Yeah, it's like nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's really shitty discount.
At the max it was maybe it was 20 because of some promotion, but at minimum like yeah. the regular is like 10,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's shitty.
So then I do that and of course I get busted. And how I get busted is I go to work, and one of my coworkers who worked in the department had recently gotten a promotion and moved into HR. And so that poor thing, this poor woman who I had worked with for oh. months now, had to sit while I got interrogated in this, like, in the security room. And I'll never forget it because it was like a secure – I am 15 or 16 at this time. It's like a Saturday morning or uh-huh. something like that. They tell me to go upstairs to sit on a stool in the middle of a screen room that has all of these cameras. It's dark except for the light of the cameras. And my former coworker, who's now working at HR, is sitting there, and this like big, like aggro white guy is just like grilling me. And it was terrifying, and it was like,
I bet.
Was so scary. And he, like, he, and his goal was to get me to name names and, you know, and it was hours. It was like at least 2 hours of just like,
oh my God.
He's just trying to get yeah. stuff. And, you know, whatever. I just like, I didn't give up any names because I was like, this, I don't think that's a good idea for me. Like, I was like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Like, I was in jail.
I just don't think that's yeah. a good idea.
But you admitted.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, when
yeah.
there was no, like, any way I could say any, okay. any, yes. like, they have, it's in my account. They have footage of me putting, you know what I mean? Like, they put me shopping. There's nothing could. So they basically like, you're fired. You can never come into a Macy's.
Oh my God.
You're gonna have to pay restitution.
You did the shopping.
Me and his girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Me and his girlfriend right. went shopping.
So and then you brought it up to the register. You got it.
Yeah.
Right. You paid quote unquote for it out of your account. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then got caught. So I was like, oh, that was so scary. And, like, leaving Macy's, like, it was just like, oh, God, that was, like, a car accident. And I 100% did not tell my mom.
Right.
Wasn't going to bring up. So I think maybe for a couple weeks I pretended to go to work right. on the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Like, but then she, as all moms do, kind of was like, something's up.
She sussed
it. Yeah, yeah.
Something's up.
So they didn't tell your parents?
No.
That's kind of amazing. They didn't
press charges. I was going to pay restitution. They didn't call, but then my mom called, and then they did tell my mom.
Oh.
And then they did call because she was like, something's up. So
she called the mall. She
yeah.
called Macy's.
She's like, is my daughter there?
Oh, and they were like, no, we fired her because she committed a crime.
She committed check fraud. It's more than just shoplifting.
Yes.
It's a whole ring.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My
check
God.
Fraud. And then the hammer came down.
Oh, my God. Oh,
the hammer came down.
I'm so scared for you right now.
Like, it was really, yeah, like everything got like stripped away. And
what did she take? Tell us everything.
I mean, like, I forget. It was.
I see,
like,
you were grounded for 100 years.
Oh, yeah. And like, the last thing she was going to take is that I had gotten into theater that year. And I was in a play, and I was going to, like, play practice, and she went to talk to the teacher, and she was going to pull me out of it. And Mr. Kim Walton begged her to keep me in.
Oh. He went
to bat for me.
Aww.
And so she took away the car. I had to come, you know, like, the only thing that I could do was go to
play rehearsal.
Yeah. Play rehearsal. That's it. And, like, that changed my life.
Yeah.
I stopped hanging out with those people.
Yeah.
We were fine. They like were appreciative he was very appreciative that I didn't bring his name up. Like, and I stopped hanging out with anybody who was remotely like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I started hanging out with white people, and here I am with you guys now. What a trajectory. That's how to survive. Yes.
White people are always the answer.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
Here we are.
Oh, my God. That's so
and
funny.
I don't, like, yeah, and I have, like, from that point on, it shook me enough to go, like, oh, yeah, like, I think I'm not going to do any of this stuff, and it's just not worth it, and, like, I just started, and maybe overcompensated the other way of always thinking about, minority reporting, like, overthinking too many different ways of how things could go south, but, like,
wow,
yeah, I stopped pretty much that behavior.
It's kind of, I mean, it's really good you got caught, because it kind of changed everything, set you back.
Yeah.
I mean, set you right, set you.
Yeah, because it's like, narrow. I was like learning how to use my cleverness, and what I described to you was not clever, but.
In the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like putting it towards something else and not, you know. Like,
there's kind of a thrill. You're getting like a dopamine rush in the wrong way. And then you went to theater and got a dopamine rush, the same rush, but like for something good.
Yeah.
So it was a sort of like you got the same hit.
Yeah.
Maybe. That you needed.
And when you're in theater, you belong to something.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that is the definition of, like, finding your people, belonging to something. And so he was right to make you stay in it because then you would have been pissed and rudderless, you know?
Yes.
So you're still not allowed in a Macy's, right?
I mean,
you can't even watch the Macy's Day Parade. They won't let you.
Anyways, like, I'm like doing really well. I don't need Macy's.
You're at Nordstrom.
I mean,
girl.
She has a whole podcast about shopping, guys. Yeah. I think it worked out.
It's true. I know. Yeah. Like, I just, it was interesting because I remember my sister at the same Cub Foods. My sisters are much younger than me, 9 and 11 years younger, I never forget. And she got busted for stealing, like, lipstick from Cub Foods.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, it was a huge thing. And then I remember my mom saying, you know, at least you didn't get caught. Like, and it was like, wrong message.
That's so funny. Well, Kulop, thank you so much for being here. That story was
incredible.
Really good.
Yes.
Really
so fascinating.
Good. I totally got the picture of you as a teenager.
Yes.
I want to see actual pictures of the giant pants.
I think I have maybe one or two to share.
I'd love to see that. Yes.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we finally got you on the show.
I'm so happy to be here.
And we will be right back with what did we learn today?
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Danielle.
Yes.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
So ready.
Sometimes people research the same thing twice just to be extra thorough and to make sure people get all the information to help them. There's nothing wrong with it.
Uh-huh.
A rainbow baby is a term for a baby that's born after the parents have a pregnancy loss. The name draws on the symbol of the rainbow, representing beauty after a dark time. Nearly one in four pregnancies end in loss. That could be a miscarriage, stillbirth, or ectopic or molar pregnancy.
One in four?
That's a lot, right?
Also, why did Alex know that term? That's so bizarre.
You know what?
TikTok.
I don't know.
Rainbow baby.
There's so many TikToks on rainbow babies, and she's
into
it.
See the rainbow baby. Oh, okay.
It's a TikTok. It's also a TikTok dance.
Yeah.
Oh, that's depressing.
Yep.
Maleta is Spanish for suitcase.
Oh, I got it right.
See, look at you. You're learning.
Yeah, 2 years.
I started back my Duolingo for German to get myself ready.
Oh, yes.
So we'll see how I do. Want to avoid a bull attack? Stay away from bulls.
Sounds good.
You've probably heard that big animals like cows and horses sleep standing up, but when it comes to deep sleep, it's just not true. While cows can doze off and sleep lightly on their feet, when it comes to REM sleep, they lie down just like the rest of us.
Okay.
This is not true just of cows, but of most other large herbivores as well. Horses, bison, rhinos, and more.
That makes me feel better.
Yes. You know what I forgot to find the answer to that I wanted to find the answer to was what the etymology of bullshit was.
Huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll find out for
you
next time.
You step in it, but why does that mean it's a lie?
That's
really interesting.
Where did that come from? Horses slumber while standing to balance their need for sleep against the ever-looming threat of predators. Horses come from a long line of prey animals in the family of Equidae, and sleeping on their hooves is an adaptation against predation. But while horses do most of their sleeping while standing, they do need to lie down for more restorative sleep.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. In a landmark event in the world of livestock auctions, a Nalor cow named Viatina-19 Fiv. This sounds like a drug they're going to start doing commercials for on Hulu. Mara Imoves has made history by becoming the most expensive cow ever sold, fetching an astounding $4.8 million, equivalent to 40 crores in Indian rupees, at an auction in Brazil. The high price of Viatina-19 has significant implications for the international cattle market, emphasizing the breed's value and bolstering its reputation worldwide.
Did it say why it was so expensive?
I believe it's because of the lineage and the genetics.
But it would be killed for meat, I'm assuming.
I'm sure it's a breeder.
I think it's a breeder.
Oh, okay.
It's not like...
And did you see the picture? It's super weird looking, right?
Yes.
It's weird, right?
It is.
It looks like it has extra...
Why is it loading? This one, right?
Nope.
That's not it?
Nope. At least that's not the picture I saw. The picture I saw made it look bizarre. Anyway, who cares? All right.
Cornered by a bull, give him a little boop. Or a big boop,
yeah,
actually.
I'd say a big.
Smash that mother father in the face. Running is your last resort.
Right.
Thank God. The only time males factor into dairy operations is for breeding purposes. A bull refers to a male who can reproduce. Some farms deploy bulls to inseminate cows.
Okay, so I got that.
You were so correct.
Yeah.
What else, guys? Anything else we want to say?
I think that's it.
Garen,
did you get that article from an Indian newspaper? Because why were they giving us the translation of rupees?
I don't know.
For something that happened in Brazil to Americans. Wait, what's that? What's happening?
What's happening? That was my computer.
Oh, it just started talking to us.
All right, guess what?
What?
I'm going to tell you guys the answer to the bullshit word.
Okay.
Okay, brief history of bullshit. This is from the Madras Courier. Or Madras. A brief history of bullshit.
I think that's the Indian paper.
I was going to say Madras is, yeah.
It might be.
Oh, no, okay. Madras is like a, is that like an Islamic something? Anyway.
Hold on. Okay.
Leader?
The history of bullshit starts with T.S. Eliot. The word bullshit is his contribution to the English language. Between 1910 and 1916, he wrote a poem titled The Triumph of Bullshit in the form of a ballad. Though the text of the poem does not mention the word bullshit, in the last 100 years or so, this distinctly modern linguistic innovation has become one of the most commonly used terms in the English language. The earliest citations for bullshit are from the British writer Wyndham Lewis and the American essayist E.E. Cummings. I think of him more as a poet, honestly.
Yeah.
According to the Oxford English Dictionary, Eliot has sent me bullshit and the ballad for Big Louise. They're excellent bits of scholarly ribaldry, writes Lewis on 2 February 1915. Okay, blah, blah, blah. He replied, I tink a lot of bullshit. Somehow, sorry. They argued that the word bull has been in use at least from the 17th century before it morphed into its modern avatar. Okay. I don't think we got an answer
from that.
I'm sorry. I just thought I was going to get us a good answer. And
that's okay.
I failed.
I was looking for it too, and it's basically that.
Okay. Well, I'm disappointed.
That's all right.
It's bullshit. That's what it is.
You know what? Maybe we'll find out before the next episode. Maybe we won't. You'll just have to wait.
Bullshit is naming a poem bullshit and then not using that word in the poem.
Yeah. Don't trick us like that. That's absolutely bullshit.
Yeah.
I
also,
agree with you.
Cats is bullshit, and he gave us that too, so.
Who did?
Isn't that?
Hemingway.
No. Hemingway?
Hemingway Cats.
The musical Cats.
T.S. Eliot?
Isn't it based on poems by T.S. Eliot?
Yes, really?
Yes.
God, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, yes. I was like, am I insane?
No, it's based on, I think we should bring him back from the dead and kill him.
You're thinking of the six-toed
I'm thinking of Hemingway cats which Hemingway, are amazing.
Yeah. I don't want to see those.
Oh my God, they're little little funky paws. I want one of those cats so bad.
If you can find one of those cats that can detect a seizure, you'll be,
I don't think
you'll be in heaven.
They don't have those kind.
Sorry.
Just dogs, which I'm getting one. Guys?
Yes.
Until next time,
remain calm.